I get those goosebumps every time.
In the Champions League quarterfinals on Paramount Plus.
It's do or die, kill or be killed.
Every decisive moment gives you goosebumps.
Arsenal have been ruthless.
I get those goosebumps every time.
It's now or never. Survive and advance in the ultimate club soccer competition.
Real Madrid are through to the quarterfinals.
Those goosebumps every time.
The UEFA Champions League quarterfinals. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Off the ball, GAA.
But with the new rules, you feel like you don't understand the game anymore to an extent, in that, you know, these 8, 10, 12 point leads do not mean anything like what they used to before.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
We're here at Loretta Mullingar, the home of the recently crowned champions of the Girls Rugby Senior Schools Cup. We got speaking to three of Loretta's best, Abigail Johnson, Maeve O'Hara and Moya Murta, alongside their coach, Mervyn Lloyd. This is all thanks to Bank of Ireland, hashtag never stop competing.
A few weeks removed from the cup final now, how are you feeling? Are you still riding the high, or have you been brought down by the cruel reality of secondary school?
I think just with like the leaving cert, we're obviously a bit stressed this week because we've orals, but definitely like it was such an achievement, and I think because we didn't win last year and winning this year made it a lot more special. The school made it so memorable, so I think we're still on a big high from it.
The video of the celebrations kind of did the rounds online after the match. What was that like for you in the full-time whistle and the moments that followed?
It was great because, like, especially after last year, we know what it's like to lose as well as to win. So, like, especially last year, we had the replay, and then after that, we still lost again. So to win this time, like, it felt amazing. And with the whole crowd there, like, the school brought loads of people to support us. It was great.
I was going to actually ask that. Was that a bit of extra added motivation for you guys going into after last year's two games that you missed out on the cup?
Yeah, it was definitely, like, we had some of the girls last year that had graduated. They were watching in the crowd, and, like, it was great to be able to win it for them that didn't get the chance to do it last year. And even for the girls coming next year to have the title to defend for the school and everything, yeah.
And was that kind of in the communication with coaches and past students, like you say, before the match as well, just to go out and do it for us?
Yeah, just like represent the school, and like it's really great to be able to have girls rugby under the spotlight as much as the boys rugby these days, and to keep it developing on and for the future, the girls coming up next.
And 45-0, were you anticipating such a massive scoreline in the end?
Definitely not, because we do play the same team with the club all the time, and even the week before that we played them and it was such a tight game, and we only won by a penalty in the last few minutes, so it was really, really tough. But I think we just got the luck that day.
Yeah.
But they're definitely a great team, like, and I think all our work paid off.
You had plenty of travelling support as well. What was that like, having people that you know and you love there with you for that moment?
Yeah, I think having our friends in the stands, like just looking up at them shouting, you know, someone had pink legs, like blue faces. And like you just, like, you need that encouragement when you're tired and you're walking, just trying to keep going on the pitch, and looking up and just almost laughing, just seeing them, like hearing them chant, like for us it was something else, and I don't think we'll ever experience it again.
You amassed 183 points, if I'm correct, if my maths are correct, over the cup, and you only let in 36 under your own posts. Could you talk to us a bit about your defensive setup and your attack as well, if you can?
Yeah, I think our defence was a big factor this year. I think last year, when we got tired, it let us down in our replay, but... Yeah, I think everyone this year, we just went out to win, and there was just no stopping us really after we got on that pitch. Once the whistle, like first whistle blew, like I don't think any one of us gave up. If anybody was tired, everyone looked at each other and just said like how much we wanted this, and we decided like having fun once we win is more important than like joking around in the warm-up. We were serious from the start, and I think it really paid off.
And how long was it till you were able to, or how long were you able to celebrate for after the fact, or was it quickly back to the books?
Our principal let us have the Friday off, and then we came in a bit later in the day. I think it was like 10:30 or something, and we did the lap around the school, and then we were let off for the weekend. We had a bit of time anyway before we were back to the books.
And just looking back at the campaign as a whole, if I could ask you each for a standout moment or memory that you'll likely reflect on in the years to come.
I think watching the boys' senior cup and realising how big of a deal it was, like watching my own brother play and then winning it this year, and seeing your family there and seeing how happy they are for you, and like hugging my dad once we won. It was just such a nice moment, and I think everyone was just so happy. I've never seen everyone just so happy. It was really memorable.
I think I'm the same, with just seeing my family up in Donnybrook. Like, Donnybrook is a great place to play, and sometimes that's only you get to go once in your life. So I think to have like everyone from my family there was just so special, and it meant so much to me because they were there.
Yeah, it was great to be able to play like in front of the school even, but my family, a lot of my uncles went to school in Dublin, and they would have been on the teams, on the boys senior cup teams, and you know, they were joking around the family like, oh, finally someone's won the senior cup for the first time after like years of all my cousins and stuff getting to like semi-finals or whatever. And like, I think it's great that the girls can be seen as well as the boys to do just that. So.
And I'd be right in saying you all play for Mullingar RFC as well. What's it been like juggling the two of them? It's a lot of rugby to be playing.
Yeah, there were some tough days, like sometimes matches would be moved to a Friday night and then you have a school game on a Wednesday, and then I'm playing on the senior team because I'm over 18, so I'd have a game then on the Sunday. Like, that's three games in 1 week, and just keep pushing. Like, we didn't have that many subs this year either, so like, if you're playing the game, you're playing the whole game, you know. But just like the support from the school, like knowing that you had to carry on for the people around you, like that's what kept you going when you're getting tired and stuff, and just like balancing it with getting like good night's sleep and trying to get the homework done as well, you know. So.
Yeah, I think the teachers were really accommodating to us as well. Like, they understood that we were training a lot, so some days we'd take it easier in school training. Obviously, like, we'd still do the main things or we'd talk tactics or something, but they knew if we had training the next day that we'd train hard with the club, because a lot of our team would play with Mullingar as well, so they were doing a good balance for us to make sure that we had lots of fun, but we were also well rested.
I think playing with your best friends as well, like, I think that's what got us through. Like, if you miss training, you feel like you're missing out on a funny joke or something, or a TikTok that's being made. So I think that's kind of the need to go to training as well as the rugby, but like just our friends getting us through. And I think seeing how the school has helped girls move to play rugby in Mullingar at like under 14s, there's like, I think there's around like 50 girls playing, and I think it's like something that's you know, it could be such a big deal in a few years, like having so many girls in Mullingar. It's just amazing to see, and to see that some of those girls are watching us play was really special.
I think I know the answer to this, but if you were to miss anything from school's rugby, what would it be?
I think our friends.
Yeah. It is quite a small team, so like, we're all so close, like by the end of it, like I think there's only maybe 17 of us on the squad, and like, even there's a good few girls that came up from into TY this year, so they wouldn't have played us last year, but like, it was so great seeing like they wanted to win it just as much as the 50s and the 60s did this year, and like, everyone really put like their best foot forward to make it work for everyone. Yeah,
at the time of recording this, we're just in the middle of the Women's Six Nations. Do you have a player that you look up to most in that team at the minute?
Well, I think we have our local talents, like Katie Heffernan and Ali O'Sullivan Sexton. I know Ali's injured at the moment, but like, seeing them where they've got to at Ireland, it's a real inspiration for us. And the fact that they went to Loreto and played for Mullingar, like, it shows that there's such a possibility in girls rugby, and that it could be one of our like teammates in a few years.
I'm Mev.
I think I think, yeah, Ellie Sullivan definitely, and Katie Heffernan, especially with the sevens. I think because when we played sevens, it was like great, and it's quite similar to 15s, but it's completely different at the same time. Like, it's, they both have their benefits for it, but it's both, and I think it's great to see how the sevens tournament is just phenomenal as well. But I think that really encouraged younger girls to play both 15s and 7s. So I think Katie Heffernan definitely, for me, anyways.
Yeah, like, there's a couple of girls that I've played under 18s, under 16s with, and now, like, they've gone on to college, and I've seen them come up the ages, like, going through the pathways through Leinster onto the Ireland squad, like, under 20s, stuff like this, and it's so cool to see that these girls I've been training alongside with all of a sudden are, like, starting for international teams, like, doing tours in Australia, like, all over the place, and, like, it shows that, like, the determination that they've put in and the work that they've done in the club, like, it does pay off, and like, it gets them where they are today. So
you may not have an answer to this, so don't worry if you don't, but do you aspire to play professional rugby?
I think every girl kind of dreams of playing for Ireland, but at the moment I don't think there's the pathways are strong enough for girls at the moment, and I think it's something that can be worked on for all those future girls, like I've said, in our under 14s and under 16s, where there's just so many numbers, because I think after under 18s like Leinster, then you either get lucky enough to play for Ireland 18s and that's kind of it, you go play for your club, or you play for your college and you kind of have to go play for a club in Dublin to get chosen. And I think that's something where they're missing out, because I know there's loads of girls in Mullingar that just have that, like, that much talent. So I think, like, if there was more of a pathway to get there, I think more of our Mullingar girls would be there, because there is just so much talent in our, like, our under 18 team. We just won the Leinster League and we're in the cup final in Donnybrook in May, so I think there's loads of girls there that could be in an Irish jersey, and, you know, I think if we just had that pathway it would be great, so yeah.
I think like I'd love to. I think every girl would that plays rugby, and I think because I was lucky enough to get to play with Leinster, and just to get the glimpse in of it, it was just like, it was like professional, like you'd be training three times a week up in Dublin, and it was so good, like, and I made friends that will be friends with me for life, and it was just, it was really good. But then it's kind of disappointing if you don't get picked for the next team or whatever, that's kind of it until senior. So like Moya was saying, just if we could like develop it a bit more, so that maybe Leinster squads could have under 20s for women's, like the boys, but I think it's great, like they're doing so much great work for girls rugby, and it's definitely super, and I think it's really benefiting us and all the girls, especially the younger ones coming up.
Give it a few years and they'll be in on it too. Like, for stuff like how the pathway you get through to like the regional, and then from the regional they get scouted to Leinster, and then from Leinster it's to Ireland. So once like you get out of that under 18 range, like you've kind of missed the boat, like there's no really like alternatives into it, like you have to come up from the youth up, and I think that can put off a lot of girls. Like some people I know started when they were 15 or 16 at rugby, and then at that point it could take them only 2 years and they could be up to your level, but then they've missed that entry into the like the system through the regional structure into the Leinster, and then, you know, like it can really cut them off. And I think there should be more work towards like inclusion towards other areas, like especially like rural areas, like maybe the Metro League in Dublin would have more like focus on scouting and stuff like that than there might be out here in the more regional areas.
Absolutely. Thanks so much guys for making the time for us.
Thank you.
Brilliant.
We're here with Mervyn Lloyd, coach of the Loretto Mullingar successful senior schools cup team. How are things, Mervyn?
They're very good, yeah. Still I suppose coming down from the high of getting over the line and getting the win this year, having been so close last year, getting things to go into a replay, and then unfortunately losing out to Loretto Wexford. So it was great to finally get over the line this year and bring it home to Mullingar.
Was that a big part of the motivation this year, going into just the cup itself and the final, that we can't let that happen again?
Yeah, I think absolutely. From myself as a coach and from the players group, I think every match that we went to this year or played, there was kind of a determination there that we weren't going to let the same thing happen again that happened last year. So yeah, you could definitely see it and feel it as in the group. Yeah.
And I presume this is a part of the conversation a lot in maybe pre-match speeches and
even when you're studying games? Like, was it a thing that constantly came up?
Yeah, it would have been. Just, I suppose, the fact that we knew we'd come so close last year, and not to let it slip this year, just focusing on being better at the few little things that maybe that we didn't perform well on last year, and just improving there. And we thought that if we could do that, we'd have a good chance, and it turned out that we were able to fulfil that then in the end. Yeah.
Your team tends to run up the scoreboard and keep the opposition pretty quiet. Could you talk to us a bit about your defensive setup and then your attacking setup if you can?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I suppose it's not just myself on the coaching team. We've got our community rugby officer from Leinster, Claire O'Brien, who is instrumental in coming in here. She does a brilliant job, not only in this school, but in a lot of schools around the area. And she'll come in here and she gives us a hand, and we work as a team, as well as our colleague Matty from Mullingar Rugby Club. So between the team of us, we kind of decided we'd put down a pressurised sort of defensive system this year, make sure that we weren't going to let many scores in, and put as much pressure on the opposition as we could, and capitalise on any mistakes that were made, and when we kind of started scoring, to kind of just keep repeating it. Yeah.
We can name all the players in terms of stars, they're all brilliant, but Cronje Cleary in the final scores a hat-trick. Can you talk to us a bit about her? She seems a bit of a star.
Absolutely. Cronje has come up onto the senior team this year. She's a transition year student, so she's come up and she's slotted in there straight away at 12. And she's been absolutely brilliant. She's got that kind of power game, strong runner, very good hands, and kind of sees things before they happen. So it wasn't, I suppose, a surprise to us as coaches that she'd grab a hat-trick in the final, just from watching her train and seeing her as she's come up and progressed through the year, and two more years of senior rugby to go for her.
And just from a coach's perspective, seeing the girls get the win in the end, what was that like? There must have been a great sense of satisfaction on your end.
Absolutely. I know, I suppose satisfaction and also a bit of relief, I suppose, as well. And just, yeah, for the girls, we the coaching group, we'd seen how much effort that they'd put in all year. And, you know, we kind of, we just felt that they, you know, I suppose no one ever deserves it. But if there was a team, we felt after what we went through last year and the work that we'd put in and the performances that we showed, we just thought that absolutely they should hopefully get over the line, and they did. And it was a very satisfactory feeling when they did. Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, to go over the line.
And how was the progression of the school system within your own school? How's it come on the last few years, would you say?
So obviously the cup competition is only very very new in its kind of formation, and it's brilliant that Leinster have brought it in and are supporting it so well. So the second year of it, and in the school here, so there wouldn't have been a rugby team here. If you'd come down to Loretta Mullingar 3 years ago, no rugby, nothing to do with that. So last year we started up the seniors, and again with help from Mullingar Rugby Club, a lot of the players would also play in there. And this year we started up with a junior team as well, and we were able to enter the junior cup competition, and we've really seen a growth, a demand from the girls themselves. You know, they wanted the junior girls really, really pushing to get their own team and to play, and you know, to move things forward, which is absolutely brilliant for rugby and for the school here.
Talking to a couple of girls outside, a couple of them are involved in Leinster under 18s or have been. How big of a deal is that for them, do you see?
It's massive, just like any sort of sporting aspirations in any area of the game or any game. You want to progress and hopefully be as best as you can be, and to test yourself against the best. So that's what the girls are aiming for when they go out and play, and then when they get selected and go on further with that, they're really delighted that they can see that progression. They can progress through their Midlands competitions, their under 18s for Leinster, and hopefully further again. As we've seen a couple of players that have played or gone to this school in the past have progressed further.
We're seeing at the minute the resurgence of the Irish women's team in the Six Nations. Can you see the kind of impact that has on the girls in training and matches, or is it something they talk about in trainings?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, they look up to a lot of these players that they see, and you know, I suppose when they see that and they see that those players can go on and achieve those things, then they think it's achievable and attainable for them. So it's absolutely, they're great role models for them. I know we've had a couple of the girls in Ireland camp actually, you know, send good luck videos out to the team before the match. I know Aoife Wafer sent the team a good luck video, which was hugely inspirational. On the bus on the way up, they were able to, you know, look at this video from her, and it really gave them some inspiration as they went on to play the final in Donnybrook. Yeah,
we talked about Skills Cup being a new introduction to girls rugby and the progression overall. While there has been plenty of examples of progression, how do you view the overall promotion of the game? There's still obviously a long way to go in terms of catching up with the boys and in turn the men's game as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Look, it's still growing, and it's nowhere near where the I suppose the boys' schools competition is, or yeah, even kind of in men's rugby we're going up further. But I think Leinster are definitely trying to you know, push it as much as they can, introduce it to more areas. You know, they have got their community development officers there going around to all the different schools, and I suppose just keep improving and improving to get up to the level where, you know, it's at an equal to the other sports, the men's game. So yeah, absolutely.
And are you hoping for another cup run next year?
Yeah.
Bit early to say, maybe, but...
Look, with the likes of the talent that we've had come up this year into transition year, I know you mentioned Grania Cleary there, Orla O'Brien as well, another player who scored in the final there for us, another transition year student. There's lots of talent coming, and as I can see, as I coach the juniors here as well, there's lots of talented girls in the school who are coming up, and they've now seen what this year's group have done, and they want the exact same themselves. So absolutely, we're hoping for to keep this run going.
We were talking about before this about the connection between the club and the school in Mullingar. It's a bit of a rarity in rugby these days across both codes. Like, it's not something you often see. It's either one way or the other. What's the impact of that?
There's been a huge impact. You know, Mullingar Rugby Club have been extremely supportive to, I'd say, not only this school but all the schools in the area of Mullingar, in terms of, you know, offering pitches when needed for matches, support, you know, if there was any coaching needed, or kind of, yeah, they've been really helpful, and, you know, they've added in... they've improved their facilities over the last few years. They've got two 4G AstroTurf pitches now. They've even had Leinster and Ireland down over the last couple of years training. So their facilities are top class. And they're getting the students and the girls and boys from around the local area who are now coming to play. And they've got lots of coaches there. And there's huge numbers of training in underage. And, you know, it filters into the school. And there's a great relationship there between girls who start playing rugby in the school here with us, who then go out and join Mullingar Rugby Club, and vice versa, girls who play in Mullingar Rugby Club or start out there and then come in and start their journey in Loreto and go on and join and play for us as well. So it's been great on both sides, the relationship. Yeah.
Thanks so much for your time, Marvin. Appreciate it.
This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name on it that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.